Now, the author Salman Rushdie is continuing his recovery in hospital after being attacked on stage in the United States on Friday. That attack saw him stabbed about 12 times, which left him with injuries his family have described as life-changing. The suspect was identified as 24-year-old Hadi Matar from New Jersey, and he was arrested by a state trooper after the attack and taken into custody. Authorities are now investigating what might have motivated the stabbing. Stephen Erlanger is the chief diplomatic correspondent in Europe for the New York Times, and he joins me on the line. Stephen, thank you for being with us today. We know Salman Rushdie had been living under a death threat since the publication of the Satanic Verses in 1989. Will you take us back to that time? What happened when that fatwa was issued?
Well, the book came out actually in Britain first in 1988, and there were even riots in Bolton and Bradford before this fatwa ever appeared. When the book was published in America, which was 1989, it got more attention, and the Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini, who emerged from the Iran Revolution as Iran's supreme leader, said the book was blasphemous and issued a fatwa, which is basically a legal ruling, urging Muslims around the world to kill Rushdie and to kill his publishers. And that prompted Rushdie to go, who was living in London then, to go into hiding. He had 24-hour protection from the British police services for about 10 years. And he began to move around toward as that time went on. But after this fatwa, I mean, there was the murder of his Japanese translator in 91. There were attacks on his Swedish, Norwegian publishers in 1993. There were threats against bookstores in America, threats against his publisher. And then things seemed to calm down. About 10 years after the fatwa, a more liberal Iranian government led by a man called Khatami said Iran's government was no longer interested in supporting the fatwa, but there was a semi-official religious foundation that kept a big bounty on Rushdie's head, and the fatwa never disappeared.
It never disappeared, but his life did change after that, didn't it? Salman Rushdie's life.
Well, it did. I mean, he after Khatami said the Iranian government wouldn't support his murder, Rushdie emerged more and more from security hiding, which was really obviously getting on his nerves, which cost him his second marriage, actually. And he moved to America and basically has been in New York ever since, and has been for many years now traveling fairly normally and making speeches and appearing on panels and going to restaurants and living a sort of normal life. People kind of forgot about all this until last Friday.
Mm-hmm. And we know what has happened since then. Well, Stephen, thank you for bringing us up to date and reminding us of what happened back in the 80s when all of this started. Stephen Erlanger, Chief Diplomatic Correspondent in Europe for the New York Times. I want to bring in Sheikh Dr. Umar Al-Qadri, Chairperson of the Irish Muslim Council. Thank you for joining us today. What's your own reaction to the events which took place on Friday?
You're very welcome, first of all. Thank you to RTE for providing me once again the platform. I was shocked. I was absolutely shocked when I read the news on various different news outlets that he was stabbed while he was about to speak at a conference in New York. I believe that, the attack is absolutely not justified, and there is no justification for violence, and especially not when somebody, there's never a justification for violence, I always say, but especially not when somebody has written a piece of satire. I'm personally not a big fan of this genre. I love to read books on different genres, and I just think that people should, as Muslims, just do what the Quran says. I mean, the Quran says that just ignore. I mean, if you do not like something and if somebody has insulted you and disrespected you and you feel that you are insulted or your faith, then just ignore it. That's what the Quran, you know, instructs us to do. The fatwa by the Iranian leader was, in my view, was just a political statement and wanting to gain acknowledgement and recognition from within the Muslim world. There were already tensions between the U.S. and between Iran. And I just believe it was a political, you know, statement, or it was politically motivated. But I do not stand with the fatwa. And there are many Muslim scholars around the world that just simply say that, you know, there's no need to respond to it, simple as that. And it's so sad that this person's life is now, and his family, everybody is now really, you know, everybody has gone through all this hardship because of something that was totally unnecessary.
Well, Stephen was just reminding us there of the outrage that people will remember from 1988-89 when the book was published, and how upset people in the Muslim community were at Salman Rushdie and his writings. Do you remember that time?
Oh, absolutely. Actually, I was 6 or 7 years of age. I remember in the Netherlands, and there was this whole, I mean, my father was a religious scholar, one of the early imams in the Netherlands, and there was always discussions going on about the person called Salman Rushdie. And as a child, I kind of found out about it. And I remember that in West Yorkshire and Lancashire, all these Muslims that had come from the subcontinent, they were protesting and burning books. And my father at that time used to say, and I didn't, you know, even though I was so young, but we had discussions after that with my father about this, and he used to say that people are silly. They were burning books in a society where this is uncommon. You know, back in India and Pakistan, people burn flags, which is not really, you know, the right way, and this is not the way to respond and protest. But this is how people protest there. And these people that protested in the similar manner and expressed that outrage in the UK were really, you know, immigrants that had come from India or Pakistan, and this was their way to express their anger. It was wrong, it was uncalled for, and it's just so sad that it then escalated to a level where it was exploited by a religious leader, and he issued a fatwa and gave, you know, basically this person's life was changed, and then a whole faith. I mean, 2 billion people, you know, live almost in the world that are Muslims, that are adherents of this faith. Salman Rushdie had been for the past many years, as we have just heard, living quite a normal life. And it's just so sad that somebody, you know, among those 2 billion, one person, and you know, a silly and a lunatic person, and you know, has done this. And now everybody, all the Muslims are really, you know, most of them are upset. And they say, like, no, here we are. And once again, we are going to be the you know, headlines. We're going to be in the headlines, and it's going to be portrayed as we Muslims condone this, while we do not. We just condemn the same way we have condemned violence against Charlie Hebdo.
Well, thank you very much for joining us on the programme today, Sheikh Dr. Umar Al-Qadri, who's chairperson of the Irish Muslim Council. Coming up next, voice notes. You know those recorded messages that people send instead of text messages or WhatsApp messages? How do you feel about them? Apparently here in Ireland, we're obsessed with them, and influencer James Kavanagh is here to tell me why. That's next.